Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
What's going on? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And Sean, very, very busy, as always, in the sports world.
Man, it is busy. And I would like to start out by congratulating the USA women's soccer team with a fantastic victory yesterday over Japan. You know, Sean, 5-2. If you would have said that the score would have been 5-2 in favor of the USA, I would have said, man, there's no way in the world that this soccer match would be a high-scoring affair. And yet it was, and it was an awesome, awesome sight to see as the USA women dominate over Japan.
And it was just north of the border in Vancouver, British Columbia. Great sight to see the red, white, and blue all over. The last Women's World Cup win since 1999. And it's going to be interesting to see if that can carry over into the Women's Professional League in the U.S., which is the National Women's Soccer League. They have 9 teams, including a team in Seattle, the Seattle Reign FC, which currently sit in second place. The Seattle Reign, they play at Memorial Stadium, and they have not one, not two, but 3 of the U.S. women's team members on that squad: Hope Solo, Megan Rapinoe, and they have the rights to Abby Wambach, who has said she will take the season off.
Who are all dynamic players, by the way, on the U.S. team, and it's great to have them up in the Pacific Northwest, playing for the Seattle Reign. But how about Carly Lloyd? My goodness. A hat trick, 3 goals in one game. 3 goals in the first half. She was on fire, man. And it was the coolest thing to see. And you had said that this was the first win in World Cup soccer for the U.S. since 1999. And of course, the U.S. wanted to play against Japan. And the reason why they wanted to play against Japan was to right that ship that they lost a few years back to Japan in sudden death. And did they ever? It was just domination from beginning to end. And what a fantastic rally for not just the United States, but for the world to bring soccer that much brighter into the scope. And the USA women are the ones that did it, Sean Wally.
Now, Sean, do you think that can carry over? Because it seems like World Cup time, everybody gets involved, and maybe that's just because it's patriotic. It's the right thing to do from a fan standpoint. But then soccer in the U.S. never really takes off and becomes up there with the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, maybe even the NHL. So that's the big question, is can they ride this wave of success and have soccer continue to climb and rise in fandom here in the U.S.?
Well, let's not make it just a men's or women's thing. Let's just say soccer in general has reached a heightened level in the United States that it hasn't been, or actually it's been climbing for quite some time, but there is still room to get better. And there's still room for more people to grasp a hold of soccer worldwide in the United States. And so I just think that it's one more thing that says, man, this is a cool sport. It's action-packed. You know, the field is a little bit wider than the football field, NFL football field. And you talk about moving up and down, man. I was glued. I was glued the whole time. And dare I say, after the first half, though, that the game kind of got a little boring because the United States jumped out 4-0 in the first half. So, you have that, and then, but at the same time, as you're saying, I believe that it's just going to continue to grow. People are going to have a big interest. I know up in Seattle, with the Sounders and the Reign, that, you know, of course, the Sounders playing at Quest, and you saying the Rain playing at Quest, I'm sorry, at CenturyLink, and the Rain playing at Memorial Stadium at Seattle Center. And then down here in Northern California, there's just this big fervor that's growing by leaps and bounds as well. Yeah, I'd say soccer is becoming a huge sport in America.
You can't leave the Portland Timbers out of the Northwest soccer. That's a big rivalry, the Sounders and the Timber, and they're going to be duking it out to see who for positioning in the playoffs in MLS soccer.
Yeah, you know, the Portland Timbers and the Seattle Sounders, that rival is something fierce. I mean, both fan bases are extraordinary. And so, you know, you have the Sounders that, you know, they have the war. What do they call that up there? Is it the war walk or the, what is that? Where all the fans are marching from one end of town to the next. What is that called again, Sean?
March to the match.
March to the match. Man, that sounds cool, man. And of course, you know, the Sounders do that, and the Portland Timbers. You talk about a rowdy group of fans in Portland, you know, with all the songs being chanted the whole game, and, you know, it gives you that European international feel. And so, you know, that I-5 rival between Seattle and Portland, you know, also picks up that energy and that fervor for soccer as well.
Now, Sean, what's your take on Abby Wambach being the leading goal scorer in international women's soccer, saying that she wants to take the season off? I don't know if you had a chance to read or see it, but Aaron Levine, our former On the Double guest here and great Q13 sports anchor, put out commentary that he said it's almost she almost has to ride this wave, play for the Rain, and continue to do everything she can to help soccer become a bit bigger and better sport.
Now, I didn't see that article that Aaron Levine did with Abby Wambach, but, you know, she wants to take a year off. Did she explain why she wants to take a year off?
I haven't heard. It was just in his commentary that she wants to take time off and obviously to unwind and release from the pressures of the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, yeah, if it's for family reasons, I get that. I understand that, you know. And so, yeah, I'd be interested in reading that article. I haven't had the chance to take a look at it. So that's something that I will definitely do. But, yeah, if she wants to take a break, I mean, by all means, you know, I mean, what else is there to do, you know, after winning the World Cup? But, you know, something tells me it's got to be family related.
And the TV ratings obviously were great in the U.S. for the championship game. And, you know, we knew some people personally that somehow got tickets to that game up in Canada. So it's just great to see on, you know, on Facebook, social media, the outpouring of support for not only U.S. soccer, but women's soccer.
Yeah, and what great weather, man. I mean, what's going on up there in the Pacific Northwest and all the way? Obviously, it's stretched up to British Columbia, but the beautiful weather, man. It looked, I believe it was 80 degrees at when the ball dropped, and, you know, I mean, it was spectacular. It was a great spectacle to be seen by all.
Yeah, that's a question that we can't answer, is what is going on with the weather up and down the West Coast. Nothing but sunshine and no rain to be seen, and temperatures near 100 in the Seattle Tacoma area, which is just too much. And you'd think they'd turn it down a notch. I know the people are getting tired of it, but hey, it is summertime.
Did you say near 100?
Correct. 98 yesterday in the Seattle Tacoma area.
Do you guys even have like central air up there, like air conditioning? What's the deal? I mean, what'd you do for relief?
Man, all the stores are out of fans. It's getting ridiculous, but hey, this isn't a weather show, so we're going to go head on out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in G. Scott, the G of Justin and G on 710 ESPN Seattle. G, thanks for your time tonight.
My man, appreciate you having me, brother.
All right. Hey, G, we're going to get right to it, man. I want to shift gears. I know you've been listening to us talk about the World Cup and the USA women taking care of business. Actually, we won't switch. What's your take on that? How excited were you to see the USA women beat Japan?
Man, I was excited, man. Anytime the United States, I don't care if it's a peanut butter eating competition. You know what I'm saying? I'm just happy that the USA won. But to see it go down like that, the first 15 minutes was exciting. To see my girl Carly Lloyd get down and get the hat trick was unbelievable. I'm sure a bunch of mamas and daddies across the world over the next 9 months will be naming their children Carly. So that was fantastic, man. It really was. But, I mean, you got to be excited about USA soccer. I mean, that's what's that, three now? Three World Cup championships? Gotta love it.
Yeah, that's it. Three World Cup championships. Now, gee, I have to admit that, you know, this soccer thing is growing on me. Have you ever seen anything like the first 15 minutes of this World Cup championship to where there was just it was an onslaught from the beginning?
No, never at all. And that's the deal, though. If soccer was like that all the time, soccer would just take. Everybody be watching it. And that's the scary thing about this is I'm so afraid that yesterday might be the last time we might watch a match until I don't know when. Until what? Another USA team is in the finals? So to have some excitement like that, and the question back to you is, you know, I know I'm not supposed to ask you questions because I'm being interviewed, was were you excited the rest of the way after those first 15 minutes?
You know, that's what I was explaining to Sean, as I said, you know, to be honest with you, after we went up 4-0, man, it kind of got a little boring, but at the same time, I was glued because I wanted to see if we could put another, you know, four or five goals in, but it was still exciting nonetheless.
Man, that's my take, man. How about we do this? How about we shorten the field a little bit? Instead of it being 11-on-11, make it 8-on-8. That way the final score is like 9-7 at the end. Now you got action. Now the USA, because there's a bunch of us around here, such as myself, it's just hard for us to pay attention. We got cell phones in our hand. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. It's just hard for us to pay attention. So, you know, you've been watching something for 50 minutes, 60 minutes, and the score is 0-0? Bruh, that's not going to get it. That's not going
to
get it.
Hey, G, sad to say, if you shorten the field a little bit, I believe you have indoor soccer, but I could be wrong, man. That's good stuff.
Hey, I can deal with that. I can work with that.
Now, G, the big question is, do you think this can carry over? Can soccer ride the wave? A lot of it seems to be the patriotism with the World Cup. A lot of people getting into the fervor and the fanfare, but, you know, we've got the Sounders, the Timbers. Can soccer ride this wave, and also women's soccer, the Seattle Reign as well?
I can only go off history, Sean. In 1999, when I watched the World Cup, I was so excited. I was like, yes, it has arrived. Soccer is here. Everybody was so excited. You just knew then, like, soccer was going to take. And then I don't know what happened. And here we are, you know, 16 years later, the women, they do it again. It remains to be seen. Will history repeat itself? My honest opinion? Yeah, probably will. I mean, I don't know, the next time you guys have your show, let's see how much soccer you're going to be talking about. I mean, let's call a spade here.
Any idea why soccer in the U.S. is not top one, top two, top three, as it is, you know, the world sport?
Because, look, it's hard for grown men and women to watch a match, and at the very end, there's a possibility that the game could end in a tie. Here, everything is predicated on winners and losers. That's what we need. I need to see a winner or a loser every single time. So, and then there's the, you know, you don't know in this game, the penalty kicks are in play, and in this type of game, it's not many people are sure of the rules. I myself, to be honest with you, sometimes I'm watching a soccer match, I'm not even sure of the rules because it might be different in MLS as it is with world soccer. So there's just a lot of different variables, but I think the case in point might be is it needs to be scoring. There needs to be more scoring, period. And I think that's one of the problems, and I know we're not talking about baseball, but that's one of the issues with baseball. Every time you turn around now, every day there's a no-hitter watch. There's somebody no-hitting. And, I mean, it's great. It's great pitching, and it's great for your team, but that doesn't translate. People don't really want to watch great pitching. You know what I mean? You go back to the days of the Sammy Sosa's and Mark McGuire's, and of course we find out later why it is they were hitting those home runs. But at the same time, hey, Everybody was watching those home runs. Everybody likes the long ball. When it comes to baseball, well, I think that's the same thing in soccer. It's just not enough scoring, man. And you take hockey, where hockey, yeah, even though hockey is less scoring as well, but there's a lot of action. There's a lot of shot on goals and different things like that. And whereas soccer doesn't have as much action as hockey.
G. Scott joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And man, you are hitting some valid points. I mean, with those sports that you're talking about, I sure would love to see a little bit more action, a few more goals, you know, more points racked up. You know, baseball, though, baseball's been pretty exciting this past couple of weeks with some of the no-nos and close to no-nos that have been coming up. But man, I got to ask you about what's going on up in the Pacific Northwest with the beloved Seattle Mariners, man. What in the world is happening up there at Safeco?
Oh, man, you know, just how about this? It just didn't start out the way we all expected. It just didn't start out the way the national guys expected. I mean, you got a great team on paper. You had the starting pitching to start. You had a great bullpen. You had great hitting. You had the addition of Nelson Cruz. And then the season gets started. The lights are on. And then, hey, there's no more talking about paper. It's talking about action. And when you have a situation where guys aren't, as they say, playing to their baseball cards, when you have Robinson Cano hitting 60 points less than his baseball card, and you have all of these guys is not playing up to par, you know, it kind of wears on you a little bit. I mean, right now these guys are 9 games out in the division. They're 6 games back from 500. But there's still action, though. You know, I mean, they're only 5.5 out from the wild card. There's still a lot of baseball left to play when it comes to the rest of the season. There's 7 games left to All-Star break. So a lot can happen. I mean, right now, the pitching with Mike Montgomery is outstanding. You know, Felix the King is always outstanding. Taijuan Walker has started to get his act together where he's been balling. He's 6-1 in his last 7 starts. So, yes, the Mariners have kind of started off slow, but hey, we'll see. And like my man Lloyd McClendon says, that's just baseball. You know what I mean?
You know it. Hey, congratulations, by the way, to Nelly Cruz for making the starting lineup for the All-Star ballot for the Seattle Mariners. Of course, as you were saying, Nelly is doing an excellent job. Started out like gangbusters. I believe what he has 22 dingers for the year.
Yes, sir. Oh, He's doing his thing.
So he's definitely swinging the bat for the Mariners, and hopefully, you know, the rest of these guys get on par. The pitching can get a little bit more consistent. And like you said, there's plenty of baseball left. And, you know, even though they're down there in the cellar with the Oakland A's, my A's down here, but they still got a shot on making the wild card.
Like they say. So you say there's a chance, and that's all that's needed. You know what I mean? Like I said, get to this All-Star break. This pitching, the starting pitching right now for the Mariners is on point. It's doing its thing. The hitting is starting to kind of get back there. My man Robinson Cano is starting to hit the ball a little bit. He's got like 3 home runs in the last 10 games, so he's starting to fare well just a little bit. So if we can just get the bats going with runners in scoring position, I mean, that's the cliche thing to say, but, hey, it's needed. So when that starts to happen, I mean, obviously they need to take care of home a little bit better here at Safeco. They do okay on the road. Each time they go on the road, they at least go 500. So when you have that kind of action and then just taking care of home, hey, they can close that gap here pretty soon.
G. Scott joining us here, host of Justin and G on 710 ESPN Seattle. And G, a sport the Northwest desperately misses, the National Basketball Association. Man, let's talk something we all like, that payday, that paycheck. There's a lot of money being thrown around in the NBA, $100 million to Marc Gasol, $80 million to both LaMarcus Aldridge and Reggie Jackson. It's obvious money not an issue for the league. Will a team ever be back in Seattle anytime soon?
Well, I don't know if you heard, there's been rumblings now. The owner from the Milwaukee Bucks, basically, they're asking for funding, for public funding out there in Milwaukee, and they kind of got a leverage threat out there on the table, basically saying, hey, if there's no public funding that happens here in Milwaukee, we might have to take this team to Las Vegas or Seattle. So, you know, hopefully it'll come, but I think right now, Sean, what needs to happen is first things first, is like the old saying in the Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. It's time to build an arena. period. So, whether or not we get the team here or not, it's time to get an arena built. Once that arena built, it just kind of feels good. When you build a house, you know, you got to add a little something to it. I feel like that'll be like that magnetic force for people to come and join in and come play ball here. The NBA is needed here, man. It's definitely missed. I mean, as you know, on our show, we don't really get to talk NBA. And so any chance I can to talk NBA, man, I love it. I miss it. I need the Sonics back in my life, baby.
Do you have any faith in either of the Seattle Arena possibilities, the one downtown at SoTo, Chris Hansen's project, or the new one possibly popping up in Tukwila with private funds?
Yeah, you always got faith, man. You always hold on to faith. But, you know, you kind of guard your heart a little bit, man. It's kind of like that woman that stood you up all the time, and she stands you up every other weekend. But, you know, that one weekend that you look forward to and she comes through, you know what I'm saying? You're there. But you guard your heart still because you have no idea when the possibility of that rejection coming. So you don't want that rejection to come as here, you know, with Seattle and a Tukwila deal. You just kind of have faith. Yes, you have faith. But you still guard your heart, bruh.
I love it, G-Scott. Joining us here on the double with a little bit of love, doctor, in you, man. I got
well, you know they call me. You know they call me the Black Liz Taylor, man. I've been married like 17, 18 times. So, man, I always got some kind of relationship advice, bruh. So.
Oh, man, that's great stuff. Keeping us on our toes here on the double. But, hey, G, obviously we're on the lines of basketball. You had the chance of getting a chance to meet Sean Wally in Billings with the Globetrotters. Man, kind of give us an idea, give our listeners an idea on what Sean Wally was like in action.
Man, Sean was doing his thing, man. First and foremost, I want to talk about that suit Sean had on. Sean had on a nice little black suit. He looked sharp, and you know the old saying that Deion Sanders, when you look good, you feel good, and when you feel good, you talk good. When you talk good, you know what I'm saying, folks pay good. So, man, when my man was out there, he was doing his thing. He was commanding the presence of the crowd, and he really showed love to my people because I was out there for auctioneer school. That's another story in itself. I was out there in Billings, Montana. But, man, he did a great job. He was acting very well, doing a little skit and everything. So I really appreciate Sean getting us backstage or in the locker room and everything like that. He showed us a lot of love, man. You be proud of Sean. Sean was holding it down for you, man.
I know, man, no doubt about it. That is awesome. One half of the Double S Express doing things in Billings, Montana with the Harlem Globetrotters. Now, G, you were talking about auctioneer school, man. Now, of course, you've had some humble beginnings and getting yourself into radio, starting out with the barbershop on 710 ESPN. But, right, man, auctioneer school. So that's the guy that's fast talking. And do I have a 50? Can I get 50, 50, 55, 55, 60? Yeah. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, talk about it a little bit. I mean, it opens up doors, man. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to talk about it, man. I want to talk about it.
It opens up doors. I mean, that's the one thing, guys, that I've learned in all of this. I mean, I don't know how far back you guys know the story about where I started, but, I mean, in 2003, I taught myself how to clean cars and how to detail cars. And so basically I had this idea that I would just go around to people's homes and businesses and try to clean their cars. And I said, well, how about I try to go up to the Seahawk facility in Kirkland? And so I rode up there to Kirkland and waited for the first guy to come by the blue fence out there at Northwest College. That's where the old Seahawk facility was. And the guy came up. I said, hey, man, can I clean your vehicle for free? Show you what I can do. And he said, okay. And so he gave me his keys. His name was Eric Kennedy. He was the equipment manager at the time. He's still the equipment manager today. They call him EK. Cleaned up his vehicle really well. And he said, hey, I'll be right back. Came down with this Mercedes. Mercedes drives down. He says, hey, this is Coach Holmgren's car. See what you can do. Man, I probably spent like 3.5-4 hours on Holmgren's car. And he said, so when it got done, he said, how much we owe you? I said, you don't owe me anything. He says, I tell you what, can you come back tomorrow? I said, yeah, I can come back tomorrow, no problem. Well, the rest is history. I was cleaning the Seahawks vehicles for 13 years, man, 12, 13 years. And then, of course, that led into the barbershop, and which led into, 710 ESPN giving us our break. And once they told us they were going to give us a break, I went to Marshawn. I said, hey, Marshawn, would you come on the show and do an interview with us? And he said, yes. And then that's when it took off.
Gee, when you tell that story and you think back to where you've come from and how it all began and where you're at now, what the last year, year and a half has been like for you, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot. I mean, it means all those times that you hear positive talk, when you hear people say you can do anything that you want to, when you hear people say that anything can happen and that you're blessed to be in America, when you hear those things, you really appreciate that, and you really say, man, you know, dreams can't come true. I mean, I got to tell you guys, I never once, when I was cleaning cars over the years, I never had the thought that, hey, I would be a radio personality. I never thought that would happen. Those weren't the things that I thought. But I do know over the years of cleaning the vehicles, and that I would also be a driver for a lot of the Seahawks over the years, from Sean Locklear to when Edgerrin James was there, when TJ Houshmandzadeh was there. I can give you stories and stories about all the guys that I've met, a lot of the information, a lot of questions that was answered by Hall of Famers like Walter Jones, and getting all that information today helps me out. It helps me be on radio. It helps me get a better understanding of what does happen behind the scenes in those NFL locker rooms. And so I'm blessed to have those opportunities and you know, to be on talking with you guys. I never thought that I would be in that situation. And so that's why, like, for you guys having me on, I'm blessed to be able to come on. And I, you know, I'm honored and I really appreciate it, because there was a time that, hey, all I was doing was cleaning vehicles. And that's the thing I do want to say, that I took pride in cleaning those vehicles. So it wasn't like, oh, feel sorry for me. Hey, like I was saying, I took pride in cleaning all of those different vehicles, you know what I mean, and doing those great jobs. And it's cool to be able to tell stories. Right now I'm in the process of I'm writing a book basically about how it all started, about how my story started from cleaning vehicles for the Seahawks to covering them at the Super Bowl. So, I mean, those kind of stories, you know, those, they're awesome stories, and, man, stories that, man, are kind of out of a book, kind of out of a movie, you know what I mean?
G. Scott, we could keep you on for the entire hour, but we got to let you run. But I do want to give you a chance to talk about the roast of Doug Baldwin you'll be hosting coming up later in July at the Parlor Live.
July 25th, the Parlor Live in Seattle. The roast of Doug Baldwin will have Tony Rock, which is Chris Rock's brother. Brooke and Jubal, we'll have Jubal from Brooke and Jubal in the morning. Jesse Jones will be there, Ada Rodriguez, and then just added to the show, Richard Sherman will be a part of the comedy roast. And, man, we're just going to give it to Doug, man. We're going to give it to him 100 and just say, everything's a go, pedestrian, all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, of course, at the end, I'm sure Doug will be able to get his little comeback and get the roast us as well. So it'll be fun, man. It'll be a fun time. It's for the ICANN Foundation. That's going to be a lot of the proceeds going to be going towards. It's going to be a good time.
G. Scott, 710 ESPN Seattle, Justin and G, 10 to 12, Monday through Friday. Follow him on Twitter at the G. Scott. Thank you so much for your time. Great talking to you. Keep up the great work, buddy.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Take care, guys.
All right, G.
G. Scott doing great things in and around the Seattle area. A busy, busy man.
A busy man, to say the least. But, man, what a humble man. You know, talking about his, you know, washing cars and just, you know, doing what he needed to do to survive. But the biggest thing that I got from that, Sean, was, is if you're going to do something, if you're going to take an occupation or take a craft, do it well and be the best at it. And because he was very good at what he did as far as washing cars, that opened the door up for him to, you know, to meet up with the barbershop crew and 710 ESPN. And, of course, as you had mentioned earlier, with the Justin and G show on ESPN Cairo 710, man, you talk about somebody that's putting it on wax. Nobody else can do that like G. Scott. So we are going to go right out to our next guest, Mr. Wally, the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. And we're going to bring in guest number two, and that is none other than Peter Corbett of the Arizona Republic. Peter, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you this evening?
Great, great, man. Thanks for being here on the Double with the Double S Express. And now the Arizona Republic, why don't you explain to our listeners who the Arizona Republic are?
We're the major newspaper in the Phoenix area in the state of Arizona. So been following the Coyote saga here for over a month here, and it's gotten pretty interesting out down here.
Pretty interesting, to say the least, Peter. So, of course, the Phoenix Coyotes are looking, as a lot of sports teams are, as far as, you know, getting a new stadium, but then not sure if they actually want to stay in the Glendale area or in the Phoenix area. But of course, there are murmurs that Seattle could be in play. What's the talk down there as far as Seattle being in play for a new NHL team?
Well, the current ownership of the Coyotes, the Arizona Coyotes, are emphatic that they're going to play in Glendale this year. They want to assure the fans that they're going to be there so they'll buy season tickets. And the league, of course, is also saying the same thing. The agreement with the city is in place. The judge ruled that that they have to keep the contract in place until they resolve this conflict of interest legal issue. That and the team's also meeting with fans tomorrow at their practice facility just to talk about off ice things and things like that. So it should be an interesting hot summer here.
Now, Peter, I thought that the Coyotes organization was actually in very good shape and everything was intact. But then, you know, when these murmurs came out and then, you know, the reality is now, why is this happening to, you know, a great city like Phoenix?
Well, the what happened is that, as you know, there was trouble with the finances for the team over the last 10 years or so that they were in Glendale. And the previous owner went bankrupt. The NHL stepped in and took over the team for 2 years, and Glendale paid $25 million each of those 2 years to the NHL to keep the team in Glendale. And they were looking desperately for an owner, and they had to strike a deal in 2013 that probably wasn't a great deal for the city of Glendale and its taxpayers, but at least got an owner in there. And after 2 years, some of the council members who had voted against the deal decided that this wasn't a good deal, and they got some of the new council members to say, no, it's not a good deal, and we think we have a legal way to force the Coyotes to the bargaining table to negotiate a better deal for the taxpayers of Glendale. So that's where we are now, and it's created havoc for the Coyotes and their fans, obviously.
Peter Corbett joining us from the Arizona Republic. And Peter, that deal was a 15-year, $225 million agreement. And now it's somewhat up in smoke, and things just seem to be a mess down there, as you've got city council members now facing a recall vote, and somewhat of comic relief, Coyotes fans raising $10,000 to shoot the mayor with a stun gun. Now, granted, that was a charity benefit, but it all seems like things are just a mess down there.
Yeah, don't tase me, bro. That's what the mayor was saying a couple weeks ago here. But yeah, it is a mess, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Like I said before, I do think that they'll probably be playing in Glendale this coming season, because it's just too late to make a switch. But it's almost like you've created a divorce situation, and then you're living with your spouse in the meantime, and that's just not going to be a good situation. There's some hope for some people in Central Phoenix, where the U.S. Airways Arena, where the Phoenix Suns play, that they could go back to play there where they played in the early 2000s and in the 1990s. And it's not a great venue for hockey because there's obstructed views and 25% of the seats. But that's an alternative that I suppose could be geared up for as early as this fall. But a lot of things have to fall into place for that to happen.
So the conflict of interest has to be settled before there can be any definite bargaining and see if they can actually iron something out?
Well, I don't think necessarily, but I think the Coyotes are resistant to bargaining. They feel like they've met the terms of their agreement, and there's no reason for Glendale to be pulling out of a 15-year agreement after 2 years. So I don't know. One would hope that the cooler heads might prevail and that they might get to the bargaining table and throw a little bit more money at Glendale to see if that might work. But in the meantime, I would say that, we're going to go to the end of July is the first hearing on the case, and then in early August. So, and there's no guarantee that it doesn't get delayed a little bit. I know that it's in Glendale's best interest that it gets stretched out so they can really put the squeeze on the Coyotes. So we'll see what happens if they can prove their case that there's this conflict of interest, that these former city employees were significantly involved in the agreement with the Coyotes, and they can get the contract eliminated.
Peter Corbett joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Now, Peter, just a quick question: what is the team's take on this whole thoughts of moving and leaving from Glendale, Phoenix, to possibly another city?
Well, they wrote in the contract that they could leave after 5 years if they lost $50 million over the first 5 years. And they really, they reported that they lost $34 million in the first year alone. So they're well on their way to getting that $50 million figure. But they've said all along that they want to stay in the Phoenix area and in Glendale. And they don't want to leave. And the Las Vegas is in play. And you probably saw the New York Post story from last week that they had sources saying that the Coyotes were going to go there. And so the team tries to reassure the fans here who have been through an awful lot that the Coyotes going to be here and that going forward.
Now, has it actually, of course, the attendance has dropped, because of, some of the things that have been going on with the Coyotes, but has hockey really caught on in an atmosphere? I mean, right now in Phoenix, it's 104 degrees right now. I mean, has it actually caught on down there in Arizona?
Yeah, I think there is a pretty strong hockey community here because this team has been hasn't been very good the last couple of years, and the attendance is at the bottom of the league and has been for many years. But there's a certain hardcore fans here that support the Coyotes, and then of course you've got all the snowbirds from up in your area of the woods and in Canada who are down here in the winter and. They'll go see their favorite team when the Detroit Red Wings play in Phoenix or the Pittsburgh Penguins and so on. They pack the house. They fill up all those empty seats. And so if they're winning and they can develop a little bit more on the west side where the arena is, I think in the long term this could be a viable hockey franchise down here. But if you don't win, that makes all the difference in the world.
Peter Corbett with the Arizona Republic. You can check his work out at azcentral.com. Thanks for your time, your insight, and trying to teach us which way is up with the Arizona Coyotes and the city of Glendale. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it. Take care.
You can follow Peter on Twitter at Peter Corbett with two T's followed by the number one, Peter Corbett one.
It's always tough, Sean, to talk about teams possibly uplifting and moving their franchises to different areas of the country. And, of course, Seattle is in play in this whole deal, but it can't be fun. And, asking the question to Peter as far as the interest level in Arizona, and by him saying that there's a strong interest, the only reason why the attendance has fallen is because the team has been lackluster. Man, we've felt that before up in Seattle, haven't we, Sean?
Oh, no doubt about it. And it goes back to, I don't know if you had the chance to listen when Jared Lewis filled in for you when you were working for the U.S. Open, but our reporter out of Milwaukee said, you know what? It's not a reason for Seattle fans to feel bad. It's not a reason for, if you get another team, there's a reason that happened. a bunch of things had to come into play and everything had to snowball for Team XYZ to leave their city. And it's not any fault of the fans in whichever town that that team moves to, so we shouldn't necessarily feel bad.
But yeah, that was a great take by Peter Corbett there. And, you know, I wish nothing but the best for Arizona. I know that in Seattle, there's kind of this feeling of, man, can't wait to get a team. But at the same time, you know, it really does suck when a franchise leaves one city to another. And who knows, they might be able to fix things down there in Phoenix. And the only time will tell. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we return, Sean Wally and myself will be talking a little more sports. We might bring it into the realm of the Major League Baseball even. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Cause you burn with the brightest flame. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. And man, Sean, gosh, over the break, we were talking about cars and gaskets, man. it's kind of an inside joke to all of our listeners, but we'll probably let you in on that on some of our email and blog work. But hey, let's get right back into it. So, Mr. Wally, man, there's some baseball action going on in the major leagues. And of course, you and I love to cover the Pacific Northwest and Northern California. And I'd have to say, man, there's not really much to talk about. I mean, even with the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners playing down at O.co this past series, four-game series, it told us nothing about either of these teams wanting to make it out of the cellar. They both split 2-2. And it was a lackluster series, man.
It tells us those two teams, the Mariners and the A's, are pretty much even. You know, they split four games. And the thing that was the biggest head scratcher is you beat Felix Hernandez. So, I mean, of all the games you think Seattle can win, it's going to be that one when King Felix is on the mound. And here you get two runs and it's game over because the Mariners can't put a bat on the ball. So, and then conversely, the Mariners scored 9 runs the night before and don't save any for Felix.
Yeah, just amazing. I mean, the season has been, or actually the Mariners have been unkind to King Felix this year. And actually King Felix has been unkind as well, having that one outing to where he pitched 2/3 of an inning and just, you know, blew up. But, you know, what's going on with the Mariners and not being able to support King Felix?
Well, you know, there are some signs that you think things are going to turn around, like the 9 runs they scored on Saturday. But, shoot, then you turn around and they don't get any of the 2 previous games before that. So it's tough because you wonder if mentally the offense thinks they can relax a little because Felix is out there to dominate, which, okay, gave up a run in the first. You know, that shouldn't be too much to overcome. And with Edgar Martinez now the hitting coach in Seattle, you would like to see things turn around a little bit. That can't get any worse. And hopefully that's what's happening. You know that Edgar is getting back to his old ways, spending time with his players in the batting cage, definitely having them hit off the tee. I know his very first day, he spent 30 minutes with Mike Zunino in the cage off the tee. Edgar believes in that batting tee going way back to T-ball that we all played when we were 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. So the fundamentals are what he's trying to teach, and hopefully at some point this season, not next year or the year after, at some point this season things will take off and Seattle can make a run at it. They're too talented not to, and you know, I'm sure you guys are thinking the same thing down in Oakland.
Yeah, you know, the way Seattle is built and the way the Oakland A's are built are two different species. And, you know, again, you know, congratulations to Nelly Cruz for making the All-Star team. And any other Mariners that made the All-Star, I don't think any other Mariners made the starting rotation, but there might be a couple of additions added.
Yeah, the A's and Mariners, ironically, both have 2 All-Stars. So you've mentioned Nelson Cruz, and of course, King Felix is also on the All-Star roster. And then down there in Oakland, the A's have Sonny Gray and Stephen Voigt. So 2 All-Stars apiece for the A's and Mariners.
Yeah, you know, and there's also hopes of Scott Kazmir making it as, you know, one of the pitchers in the All-Star break. Here's the thing that kills me about the Oakland A's down here, and, you know, the fire sales that Billy Beane has each year. And, you know, of course, all the All-Stars that they got rid of. Who's the leading vote getter in the AL as far as the All-Star game is concerned? None other than Josh Donaldson of the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, gosh, that just kicks me in the stomach every time the Oakland A's get rid of one of their All-Star players and they go on to do great things. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what Billy is thinking in that whole process. I mean, does he think that they're not going to play well if he sends them to another team? Because if that's the case, that can't be true. I mean, I'm looking at Josh Donaldson and his numbers this year have just been astronomical.
Yeah, Sean, that's always painful when a team sends a star away and, of course, they continue to do well or even blow up bigger than they were playing for your favorite team.
Yeah, you know, and so let's hope one of these teams makes it out of the cellar. And as G was saying earlier, there's still a lot of time left. That, you know, even though the Houston Astros are doing a great job, Texas Rangers are playing some consistent baseball, there's still room in that AL West to actually do some damage. Of course, Anaheim's doing good as well. I'd hate to leave them out. But there's still room for Seattle and Oakland to actually make their way out of the cellar and fight for a possible wild card.
And the Mariners get a help tonight with the return of Hisashi Iwakuma to the mound. He's been out a couple months. And James Paxton should be returning not long after the All-Star game. So the rotation will be getting even stronger as long as those guys come back healthy and on point. But really, that's not been the big issue in Seattle. It's, as usual, the offense and lack of hitting.
And, yeah, you're hitting it right on the head. It's the offense and the lack of hitting. You know, you're speaking of the Mariners right now. They're going into the bottom of the third, down 1-0 to the Tigers. And here's an opportunity for the Mariners to actually take advantage and start getting things back into, you know, where it needs to be. And of course, you were mentioning Iwakuma doing an okay job, giving up one earned run and two strikeouts, but did give up a home run. And so, you know, the Mariners' bats have to wake up on this one.
A home run in Seattle, huh? But I thought the ball didn't carry at Safeco.
Yeah, unfortunately, it carries well, you know, with good hitters. Now, Sean, of course, you are, and we haven't talked about this, but you're in a different part of the country. Go figure, even though you're taking a break from the Harlem Globetrotters. We talked a little bit last week about you making a trek down to Las Vegas, and that's where you are right now for the Global Basketball League, man. So how are things going down there?
Well, other than being in a flash flood warning and thunderstorms, we're doing well. Global Basketball Summer League gets rolling tomorrow with the first of the international review games, 3 days of basketball. And then the pro review is over the weekend. And it's just great to reunite a year later with guys that have been on our show. And I got to know last year, like Lewis Lofton, Ricky Cleveland George, Daryl Reshaw, John White. Of course, Cottrell Macklin is here and will be doing a lot of video work and play-by-play and color analyst of the games. And so we've got new equipment in the media broadcasting realm this year, so that'll be nice. And it's just going to be a lot of fun, and it's exciting. You know, George Tolliver with refereeing for the NBA is here. Got to speak to him a little bit today. And then later in the week for the pro review, a name you'll probably remember, Sean, Andre Livingston will be here coaching one of the pro review teams. He is involved with the NBL of Canada, and who can forget the NBL of Canada Commissioner David Magley will be here as well.
Man, I loved having that conversation with David Magley a couple of weeks ago. Awesome insight. And, you know, this is a great league, you know, especially over the summer. The NBA Summer League is going on, but the Global Basketball League has some great talent as well. But tell me this, Sean. So, you know, of course you're going to be doing some color commentating, you know, analyst duties, interviewing as well. What are some of the things that you're looking to get better at the second time around down there?
Well, it's like they say, you know, the second year is much easier in anything you do. You know, it's talked a lot about in sports that, you know, the sophomore season, you start seeing guys do better that are going to be better. And it's just good to know what's expected of us, how things work. And really, Cottrell and I being back here for a second year, it's going to help to have us understand not only what we can do, but what we want to do and be able to work that in with reporting, interviewing, things like that. And then there's always 4 games a day, so we'll have a lot of opportunity for play-by-play and analyst work as well.
You know, I am really kicking myself. Of course, there are some things that I have to tend to here in Northern California, but I'd love to have been down there. And of course, you and I getting the chance to team up and do some more work with play-by-play and color analysts, that can always be a good thing as far as bettering our repertoire as well. So, yeah, I am. I'm kicking myself for not being down there.
Well, hey, basketball starts tomorrow, goes through Sunday, late afternoon, so there's still time.
Yeah, there's always time. You're saying that it's thundering. Man, it's still probably about, what, 100, 105, 107 down there, even with the rain?
I only saw my phone show 98 degrees for the high, so.
Gotta love Vegas, man. You gotta love it. Are you going to get a chance to frequent some of the, you know, the slots, or maybe a poker table or two.
Oh man, I'm here for business and meeting, making new acquaintances, and you know, putting the work in. So that's what we're going to concentrate on, and hopefully having time to hang out with former guests Harrison Wood and Chet Buchanan, of course, both of KLUC fame down here in Vegas.
That is what I'm talking about, Sean. Wally, always keeping it business, but fun at the same time. So, man, Sean, it was a great, great show today, man. Yeah, go ahead and reel off our guests today.
Big thank you to big-time guests tonight, G. Scott, host of Justin and G on 710 ESPN Seattle, 10 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. You can follow him at the G. Scott. Great insight on how he got his start in radio, and that, you know what, he took a chance and started washing cars for free for Seattle Seahawks personnel. Just great stories, great insight, doing great things. An auctioneer, host for all kinds of different talks. He had a father and son symposium on Father's Day. He's got the roast of Doug Baldwin July 25th. What doesn't G. Scott do? And second big-time guest was Peter Corbett of the Arizona Republic, trying to make sense, if at all possible, of what's going on in Glendale versus the Arizona Coyotes of the NHL.
Oh, man, what an awesome show we brought together, man. So we get a chance to talk with G. Scott about, you know, again, his humble beginnings and how, you know, he stayed persistent and now doing some great things with the Justin and G. Show. And, of course, Peter Corbett. And so we've covered the NHL, and we talked at the beginning of the show about World Cup soccer, Women's World Cup soccer. Oh, man, we're flexing our brains here as far as the sports realm is concerned, Sean Wally.
Hey, you know, that's what we do. We don't want to put ourselves in a box, and, you know, we'll talk about curling if that's what's needed.
So, man, this is another show in the books. If you want to listen to our show live, you can download the app BBS Radio. That's BBS Radio, and that is Station 2, or you can go to our website, www.double-s-express.com, or you can also catch us on BBS Radio, some of our archives on bbsradio.com/DSX. And if I might add, Sean Wally, you can also catch us on Twitter and Stitcher as well. Let me take a breath. It's been a great show.
The only thing you left out, Sean, the only thing you left out is iTunes.
And iTunes. Oh, my goodness. I did leave out iTunes. I apologize for that. But, man, another show in the books, a great one, I might add, as well, Sean Wally. And as we always say, man, you're not in the game until you take a hit. And when you get that hit, we hope that it clears nothing but 410 yards over the fence. How about that one, Sean Wally? This one's been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, the engineer, you've been listening to on the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.